NPR.
Darian, I heard you made a special trip to Times Square last week.
I did. I went very close.
Yeah. I'm standing here looking up at this sign called Our National Debt.
Okay, so you picked the nerdiest sign in Times Square to look at.
Of course. I found this National Debt sign on a side street. It was kind of hidden between two restaurants, Burger and Lobster and Mermaid Oyster Bar.
Oh, sounds decadent. And so is our spending. I assume the number's pretty high.
It's rising up and up and up in bright yellow letters.
So what are we up to now? We're approaching, 100% of gross domestic product?
Yeah, on one measure, the US government has a collection of IOUs adding up to about a year's worth of output. On that day, the number was more than $34 trillion. And I asked the people passing by to look up at the sign and tell me what came to mind.
Wow, that's crazy.
I think it is concerning.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
A lot of money. Facts. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Weilin Wong.
And I'm Darian Woods. Today on the show, the big number hanging over all Americans, the federal debt. Is it time to freak out, or is there nothing to see here? That's after the break.
This message comes from NPR sponsor AT&T Business. With a voice as calm and soothing as Rainn Wilson's, it was inevitable he either worked for NPR or invented a talking pillow. He went with the pillow. Sleep with Rainn, powered by AT&T Business, featuring his voice, designed to help people sleep. Kinda brilliant. Even smarter? Launching a new business with AT&T Business's security, reliability, and expertise. Make your next-level ideas a reality with the only next-level network. Take your business to the next level at business.att.com. This message comes from NPR sponsor American Express. Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Governments accumulate debt when their spending outstrips the money they're taking in. So debt can get higher from things like increased spending during COVID or through reduced revenue, like with the 2017 tax cuts under then-President Trump.
At the moment, the U.S. debt is close to the highest it's ever been as a share of GDP. And globally, it's 4th highest among advanced economies, behind Japan, Greece, and Italy.
And one general theme that critics of the debt bring up is that this encourages wasteful spending. Take interest payments. Maya McGuinness is the president of the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, and she's our debt hawk.
Interest payments this year will actually be larger than national defense spending for the first time.
And that's not a small number.
No, that's not a small number. I was going to say, whether you think we spend too much or too little on national defense, that is one of the largest items in the entire federal budget, about $6,600 per household.
I mean, sure.
Martha Gimbel co-founded the Budget Lab. She's our debt dove.
I think it gets to the question of why we took out that debt in the first place, and did we think it was a good idea at the time? So if you are going into debt to, for instance, buy a house that you and your family are going to live in for many years, that can be a reasonable investment that's going to have payoff for you. If you're going into debt to go to Disneyland, that's probably just going to cause problems for you down the line.
But Maya, our debt hawk, doesn't believe all the government's spending has been investments that will pay off in the future.
The bulk of the government's money goes to consumption. Over 80% goes to consumption, not investment.
In other words, no more than 20% of government spending typically goes to things like railroads, public health research, and retraining for veterans. You know, investments that might improve prosperity in the future. The rest goes to things like unemployment benefits, Social Security, and Medicare.
And Maya's not saying the government shouldn't spend money on these things per se. In fact, she says borrowing and spending can be really useful in a downturn.
The smart times to borrow are when your economy is operating below capacity. The most recent and painful example was COVID. Thank goodness we were in the condition that we were able to borrow trillions and trillions of dollars, and that really saved the economy. But you don't want to borrow when there's no reason to. And for instance, the 3 years under the Trump presidency before COVID hit, we were borrowing for basically everything, and that didn't make sense. That was running the economy hot.
The 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act meant that without corresponding reductions in spending, the government had to borrow more than it otherwise would have.
And now that we're through COVID and we have inflation, we're still borrowing, adding most of our policies by financing them from debt. And that makes inflation worse, and that has a whole lot of other negative effects. So there are lots of times you should borrow. Right now, from an economic perspective, is definitely not one of them.
And that brings us to the second main concern that people might have around the national debt, fairness. Is it really fair to pass along our pile of IOUs to future generations? First up, debt critic Maya.
The truth is, if we borrow, it's more complicated, but not much more complicated than saying, we want to do a lot of things today, and we don't want to pay for them, so we're going to ask our kids to pay for them. Basically, it's a lot of parents saying, here's the spending we're going to do, and here's the bill we're passing to the future.
On the other hand, Martha, our debt dove, thinks this could be fair, depending on the type of spending.
I mean, I think that gets back to the value for money question, right? So if I'm my grandchild and we spend a lot of money on fighting climate change and creating the conditions for the United States economy to grow really strongly, I think she'd be pretty happy about that. If we blew her inheritance on several weekends in Vegas, I think she would be mad.
Now, we could argue forever about whether what the government currently spends its money on represents investments that our children and our children's children would be happy with. But regardless of what the debt paid for, there is the possibility that it just gets too large and the US government defaults on payments. Maya, our debt hawk, actually is not too concerned here.
You know, I don't worry about a crisis because United States of America is incredibly unique when it comes to our fiscal situation. We borrow in our own currency. That's what makes us different than other countries that might have a huge fiscal crisis. And we are the reserve currency of the world. So even when there is a big recession, we're usually able to borrow without concern because people buy U.S. treasuries.
She's talking about what's sometimes called exorbitant privilege, when, and kind of especially when the world is in turmoil, people turn to the U.S. dollar and buy U.S. treasuries. Martha, who's fairly relaxed overall, concurs.
I am not concerned about a fiscal crisis tomorrow. I'm not concerned about a fiscal crisis in a year.
But even though you could say Martha is a debt dove, she does raise a type of fiscal crisis that worries her. And it's not necessarily that the debt is too high.
I would become a lot more concerned if political dysfunction and political risk increases. When you've seen some of the credit ratings agencies downgrade U.S. debt, one of the things they've mentioned is political risk in the United States.
All the brinkmanship around the debt ceiling really concerns Maya, too.
In the past, it served a very productive purpose, where often at the same time they lifted the debt ceiling, they put in place measures to improve the debt. But it no longer does because people have started to threaten to default, and that is a dangerous idea. We shouldn't even be talking about it.
Okay, we'll zip it up now. But in any case, it's something that Maya and Martha agree on. Maya says they probably have a lot of commonalities.
Oh, I think there's probably as much that we agree on as that we don't, in the fact that I don't think we think there's a crisis. I do think we would think that public investments make a lot of important sense.
Two quite different perspectives unified in being pretty chill about the prospect of any imminent default.
Both make the case that we should debate taxes and the quality of government spending, while not making that debate so toxic that investors lose faith in the U.S. government.
There is also that doomsday clock. What's that one counting to?
Like nuclear apocalypse.
Is that nuclear apocalypse?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, we could do that next week on Other Things to Worry About or Nuclear Warfare.
Darian visits the Doomsday Clock and eats at the Whole Foods.
Another guided tour around weird Manhattan monuments.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Angel Carreras with engineering by Patrick Murray. It was fact-checked by Sierra Juarez. Kate Kinkannon edits the show, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.
I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go. There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. But on Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's a new podcast from NPR where I invite actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to talk about some of life's biggest questions. Listen to Wildcard wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Greenlight. Want to teach your kids financial literacy? With Greenlight, kids and teens use a debit card of their own, while parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and savings in the app. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor Warby Parker. Their glasses start at $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. Go to warbyparker.com/covered.